it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
There has been so much talk in the news about DEI, about affirmative action, about college, about the future of our high school graduates. So where are we actually, and what has been done? Well, The Fall of Affirmative Action is a new book out by Yale Law professor Justin Driver, who is going to be in town Tuesday night to discuss this at the Clark Family Branch on Lindbergh. And thank you so much, Professor Driver, for being with us on KMOX.
Thanks for having me.
This is such an interesting topic because affirmative action in college has been something, obviously, that has been talked about for decades, and I'm not sure how closely most people have been following it to know exactly where it stands right now. Students for Fair Admissions versus Harvard was obviously an extremely important ruling. Can you talk a little bit about what that meant and what it means moving forward?
Yes, I think you're quite right that there is a lot of confusion that surrounds this topic right now. 2 years ago, the Supreme Court of the United States in Students for Fair Admissions versus Harvard, what lawyers would call SFFA versus Harvard, eliminated affirmative action. That means that universities have responded by not observing the racial boxes that applicants might check during the application process itself. But one of the difficulties in this area is that the Trump administration has been offering a distorted conception of what the SFFA decision actually means. They suggest that it sweeps a lot more broadly than it actually swept. From my perspective, the decision has been catastrophic. We have seen declining enrollments of Black students at many of our nation's finest universities. The decision does not go as far as the Trump administration believes that it did.
On the right, obviously, they've seen this as a triumph of colorblindness, but is it really ending racial equity? How are students, minority students, moving forward at this point? What does it mean for them?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think that the decision has led to lots of unintended consequences, and even as assessed by conservative lights, the new admissions regime is worse than the one that SFFA toppled. So, for example, in the old model, a Black applicant like myself could check the Black box and then write personal statement about why I wanted to study, you know, Proust or string theory or anything else under the university's wide sun. But under the new model, because those racial boxes are no longer there, Black applicants are incentivized to write stories that sound in racial woe and the persistence of racial discrimination. And conservatives have criticized affirmative action, saying that one of the problems is that it instills a victimology mindset. And it seems to me that the new essay-based diversity regime is going to intensify that very victimology mindset that conservatives say they are concerned about.
There's been so much talk about DEI. Where does that go along with affirmative action? We don't hear affirmative action said as much anymore. It's all been about DEI. Are they the same conversation? Are they different branches of the same conversation?
A good question. DEI is a boogeyman, in effect, it seems to me. Affirmative action in higher education would traditionally go to the application process itself, and I would regard DEI as going to the sort of climate on the campus itself and things of that nature. So I would regard them as distinct. I want to back up for a second and say something about this larger moment that we're in. You know, the opinion written by Chief Justice John Roberts in SFFA says eliminating racial discrimination means eliminating all of it. That's what he would regard affirmative action as. But just this week, we saw a decision from the Supreme Court that permitted race to be used as a criterion in Southern California, where authorities are looking for unauthorized immigrants. So there is a real tension with conservatives' claims that they are honoring colorblind constitutionalism when being Latino and in Home Depot is enough to get one sort of thrown against the wall and arrested. So so there is, as I say, a real profound tension within conservative argumentation on this issue. And I should also say, by the way, nobody believes in colorblind constitutionalism, full stop. No one believes in that.
Moving forward.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Forward, though, you say that this, you know, the fall of affirmative action, your book does provide a blueprint for the future. So how do we move forward?
Yes, I was deeply upset about the decision, and I felt compelled to use my understanding of the decision to identify the path going forward. So I try to identify several practical things that universities could implement in order to avoid the declining Black enrollment that many excellent universities have suffered. So, you know, I'll tell you about three of them. One would be preferences for the descendants of enslaved persons. That remains available even after SFFA, in part because of originalism. That's somewhat of a counterintuitive claim, but that's how it works. A second would be for universities to form partnerships with local schools that do not have a track record of sending students to the first-rate university in the region. And a third would be to have box checking of a different sort. So I call this part of the book the fall and rise of box checking. You could imagine applications asking students whether they were born to unwed parents, whether they have a close relative who is incarcerated, or whether they were raised by a single parent, or whether they rent rather than their parents rent rather than own their home. And what all of these things have in common is that the Chief Justice's opinion says what's forbidden is what he calls race qua race. You'll have to pardon the Latin there, but race for the sake of race. And none of those three models, along with an additional several that I explore in the book, violate Chief Justice Roberts's prohibition on universities treating students on the basis of race qua race.
It is going to be an interesting conversation Tuesday night at the Clark Family Branch. The book is The Fall of Affirmative Action, Race, the Supreme Court, and the Future of Higher Education. Justin Driver is the Robert R. Slaughter Professor of Law at Yale Law School. Thanks so much for joining us on KMOX.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.